My old friend, Melanie Vaness, who runs one of the best chambers of commerce in the country, the Pieter Maritzburg Chamber, dropped me a WhatsApp this morning about one of her members, Ian Ambler, who joins us now, with an innovative way to help the country fight COVID-19. Your company, Ian, just tell us a bit about it, Clifford Machines.
Alec, we're a small business, privately owned by myself and my partner, Graham Raynor. We turn over roughly 100 million rand a year. We are a mechatronics company. We specialize in design and manufacture of automated machinery. We export 95% of what we make. Our biggest market by far is the USA. We export around about 65% of our turnover a year are special machines made for the USA. We have approximately 65 employees. They are a fantastic, enormously talented bunch. About 25 of them engineers. I don't think you will find better engineers anywhere else in the world. We're very proud of our team of people. They're obviously going through a tough time now, but they're tremendously talented. And we are, despite the challenges of lockdown, etc., which is obviously hurting our people and our business, we are all, as a team, rolling up our sleeves, and we're determined to come out of this thing better and stronger on the other side, and we are hoping for the same for the whole of South Africa. It's a tough time, but we're going to get through it.
And all of this from Pieter Maritzburg?
Correct.
You made ventilators in the past. Clearly, there's a desperate demand for ventilators now, not just in South Africa, but everywhere else in the world. Why did you stop doing that?
Alec, it's a long story, and this goes back to the early 2000s, around about 2003. I had been with the company then for roughly 7 years, I think, already. Essentially, we developed a ventilator specifically for the African market, made to be simple, robust, able to be used by lower qualified people, not confusing. It was very simple, mostly mechanical. It had battery backup in case of load shedding or power failures. It could be carried in an ambulance and carried to a patient in distress and then plugged into the mains later. It was technically a huge success. We were very proud of it. What happened in 2003 it was decided to stop marketing and making that unit, for the simple reason that we ran into problems with corruption and we were being expected to pay bribes in order to sell them to the state hospitals. There was a number of attempts made to resolve, and just when you thought you'd got around the problem, it would rear its head, ugly head again elsewhere or at a higher level or at another level, and eventually we decided to walk away from it, which was a tragedy because the unit worked extremely well. We had some wonderful testimonies from paramedics, nurses, anesthetists who told fantastic stories about the thing, and we really were genuinely very proud of it. So it was a tragedy that it stopped. The good part of that story, though, is the reason it was stopped was not because it was no good or technically unsuitable. It was stopped for other reasons. The fact of the matter is it really is a wonderful unit, and we believe absolutely suited to the requirements of and realities of Africa in the whole COVID-19 crisis.
Are you starting to make these ventilators again, given the crisis that the country is in?
Yes, Alec. About 2 weeks ago, we took the decision to move quickly on starting up with the ventilator production again. We effectively have taken our initial design, which, as we said, was well proven, used in a number of hospitals, and we are in the process of upgrading it to work with control equipment and software, which is present day. We can't use 20-year-old components, electronic components inside the thing. You simply can't buy them anymore. So we are in the process of upgrading that. We're rewriting the software to suit those components, and we are in the process of building another one right now as fast as we can, and then we will hand it over to the hospital, the local Pieter Maritzburg Hospital, to do the initial tests with.
How many of these ventilators would you be capable of producing?
Alec, it's a chicken and egg question. Really, that boils down to one number. It's how much funding do we have? Obviously, there's an altruistic side of this project. We would love to help South Africans. We would love to help people in desperate need of proper ventilators. We also, at the same time, would love to be able to provide employment to our work for our employees, all of whom are sitting at home. That's a real issue to us, and we make no apology for that. That's both of those issues are foremost in our minds. However, we also are completely understand that no one company can make the quantity of ventilators that is required, even for South Africa, never mind other African and international countries. So we see ourselves working in a very collaborative, open environment. We are quite happy to make the software available. We'll post it on the internet, open public IP. We see ourselves being able to not just make them ourselves, but put many other companies, some of whom we are able to recommend some, who could also do similar work like this based on the same design. The irony of it, Alec, is that the very fact that we are just a small company in privately owned company in Sleepy Hollow, Pietermaritzburg, is kind of counting against us in terms of big organizations like the IDC, who are really rolling up their sleeves and trying hard here, and I have to give them credit for that. You know, in the end, I suspect that the main funding is going to go to large corporates or big behemoths or state-owned enterprises, and there's been talk of the Donnells, et cetera, et cetera. And the irony of that is that a small company like ours will be overlooked. But a small company like ours can move forward incredibly quickly on a thing like this. We're small. We've got highly capable engineers. We know what we're doing. We're specialist mechatronics people. We build automated machines for our living, and we have made these things before. That puts us streets ahead of where most people find themselves, and we really do see this as an enormously positive opportunity for South Africa to get these things made. But we do need funding, we do need assistance, and we don't see ourselves doing this all on our own.
Have you managed to get hold of anybody in the IDC or in a area where the funding can be provided?
The IDC, we made a big submission to them on Monday. It had to be in at Monday, 11 p.m., and we made that submission. There are people in the IDC who clearly are working extremely hard on this, and I take my hat off to them. We filled in all of the forms, and we gave them all the information, et cetera, and we've heard nothing since. I understand that they're extremely busy, and I have no axe to grind with them. We have been trying to get hold of them, but have heard nothing. And I think, again, the fact that we're this small business without the sort of political clout or political connections kind of counts against us. Ironically, though, we really do have a lot to offer. We're just a bunch of engineers in this little town called Pietermaritzburg. We're not terribly well connected. And I think if we spread the word out there and people understand what we have available and what we can offer, I think we could do an enormous amount. And I know South Africans are good at this type of thing. When there is a crisis, we can roll up our sleeves and move forward. It's much like Cyril Ramaphosa was saying again last night. We absolutely see ourselves as part of the South African landscape and environment. It's our country. We love it. There are our people out there potentially dying from this COVID-19. We want to roll up our sleeves and do everything we can. And at the same time, help our people who are currently stuck at home without work and their families.
How much funding do you need?
That's the million-dollar question, and really it boils down to how many ventilators are required and what time frame. And there doesn't not seem to be an answer to that question. We have all the skills to be able to build these things. We are absolutely certain now that it is the right piece of equipment for the circumstances we found ourselves in, and we could make them very quickly. But once again, we do not see any company, certainly not our company, being able to make everything that is required. And we are completely prepared to work with other companies or government or any other organizations or investors to make this technology available. We see it as being done on an open IP basis, and we would like to do as much help to as many people as we can. It's important to realize that this isn't something that has just coming from our business. This ventilator concept was actually invented by a specialist anesthetologist by the name of Dr. Don Miller. An extremely clever and capable man and highly respected. He really is the brains behind this thing. And he and another brilliant engineer by the name of Richard Sobey, who now actually is living in Australia, they started this project 20-odd years ago. I was somewhat involved then, not deeply. I've certainly been deeply involved now. But I do want to stress that this thing hasn't just been done by a whole bunch of engineers. It's absolutely been championed, driven, and directed by a very, very smart doctor who knows exactly what he's doing and has been involved in this for decades. We would not presume to say that as an engineering company, we know what we're doing when it comes to ventilators. We've certainly learned a lot in the last few years, but we base our opinion on its validity for this current crisis, not on what we know, but on what this Dr. Don Miller and his colleagues have been saying. He's certainly a person who's worth listening to. You can Google him, and if you do any research on him, you'll realize that he absolutely knows what he's talking about and is someone we should listen to.
When will you have your rebuilt ventilator ready to be tested?
We are in the process of making it right now. The biggest bottleneck at present, unfortunately, is getting our hands on some of the parts, few of which are very frustratingly stuck in customs at OR Tambo. But we are working on getting all of those through. We are aiming to have our prototype, the first updated machine, finished the week after next, Alec, and it's looking achievable. The software is being done as we speak. We are machining a number of parts, and I would say that probably 70% of the parts for the first machine are now in hand, and the other 30% are being dealt with, but we don't actually physically have them in our hands yet.
So the idea would be get the prototype, prove that it still works or it works better than even the original one, and then try and roll out as many as possible, given that you get funding.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Any of the old machines available, those that were built pre-2003?
Yes, we have one available. We have a number of others, believe it or not, running in Zimbabwe, but you will not get even a broken ventilator out of Zimbabwe at the moment. They are looking at repairing any ventilator they can get their hands on. So we haven't got one back from there. We had a number of them in Edendale Hospital in South Africa, and we have been looking at getting some of those back, but so far not successful. We have had interesting news, though, that they were being used there recently after 18 or 20 years of operation, but we haven't managed to actually locate one yet.